Charles and Letty Kyman were two missionaries, married couple who founded the Oriental Missionary Society way back there at the beginning of the 20th century. They were greatly used of God, ministering and serving the Lord in the great nation of Japan. But having been used of God while they were still relatively young, Charles Kyman's health began to fail and to deteriorate. They reluctantly returned again to the United States, where Letty nursed her dying husband. But she spent those quiet hours wisely, and she began to write, and under God she wrote a famous now devotional book entitled Streams in the Desert. Shortly after writing that book, her husband Charles died in 1924. She was 54 years of age. But in those dying days, her husband never lost missionary zeal and a burden for the lost. In fact, some of his last words to his wife were these: Letty, do your utmost to bring with you as many souls as you can. Shortly after his death, she opened his Bible and she found an unopened note that was written to her. And in that note, she read these words: Go on with my unfinished task. And she became a speaker to different missionary people and also a notable author. She recorded her husband's biography in the book Missionary Warrior. I remember reading that book as a young man in my early 20s and what a challenge it was. And through that book, many people felt the call of God. And along with Streams in the Desert, she began to write more devotional volumes as well, one of which was entitled Springs in the Valley. As a young lad growing up in Lisburn, I remember my mother would often have had one of these two volumes beside her Bible, Streams in the Desert and Springs in the Valley. And the titles of those two books were taken directly from Scripture. Isaiah 35:6 speaks about the streams in the desert. Psalm 104 and verse 10 speaks about the springs in the valleys. And it is my conviction this morning that for every desert experience in the life of a Christian, there will always, if you seek it, be a stream. And for every valley experience in the life of the Christian, if you seek it, you will always find a spring. You see, the Bible makes it very clear that there are treasures and blessings to be found in adversity. God says in Isaiah chapter 45 and verse number 3, "And I will give thee the treasures of darkness and the hidden riches of secret places." And maybe this morning you're going through a dark and a difficult patch as a Christian. There are treasures to be found in darkness. There are hidden riches to be found in secret places. There are streams that run in the desert. And there are springs that burst forth in the valley. Most of us, I'm sure, know what a spring is in this context. A spring is a point where water flows out of the ground. Water is forced to the surface because the spring water table is at a higher level than the output, and the pressure causes that spring to burst forth. Artesian wells, they're often called in English. And if you travel up Captain Street in Coleraine, you'll notice a spring of this very nature. A borehole was drilled back there in 1870, some 80 feet deep, and for the last 150 years almost now, as far as I know, that spring has run continually with fresh and clear and pure and living water. I have a flask here just at my feet that's filled with water from that spring. I filled up that glass with that water earlier on, only to be told that somebody thought it was dirty. They poured it out, and they filled it up with tap water. Maybe that's for the best. I assume, however, that water from that spring is fresh. And here the psalmist in Psalm 104 and verse number 10 assures us that our God sendeth springs into the valleys. Not just the valley, but the valleys, because there are many valley experiences for the child of God. But be assured that in every valley experience, if you seek God, you will find Him. And in so doing, God will open into your life and into your soul, maybe even into your home or your family or your circumstances, a tremendous spring of living water to quench and to revive your thirst and to give you strength for the days that lie ahead. Help for hard times, springs in the valleys. There are three simple thoughts that I want to leave with you this morning as we consider this text of Scripture. He sendeth springs into the valleys. And the first point that I want you to consider is quite simply this. This verse speaks to us of the sorrows experienced by the believer. The sorrows experienced by the believer, because it speaks about the valleys. The valleys. And every child of God will know what it is on occasion to be in the valley. And you might be in the valley this morning. Whenever God spoke to the children of Israel about the promised land, He said in Deuteronomy chapter 11 and verse number 11, "But the land whither you go to possess it is a land of hills and valleys, and drinketh water of the rain of heaven." And without the valleys, there could be no hills. Without the valleys, there could be no mountains. And without the valleys, there could be no springs. And so it is not just with the promised land that the Israelite people were going to, but with the Christian life itself. The Christian life is a life of hills and valleys. As a young man, the psalmist David could say in Psalm 23 about passing through the valley of the shadow of death. Many times his life was under threat, and David knew, whether it was from Saul or from Absalom or from the Philistines or from his enemies, he knew what it was to pass through the valleys. Psalm 84 in verse number 6 speaks about the believer who, passing through the valley of Baca, the valley of weeping, that is, "make it a well, the rain also filleth the pools." Are you this morning in the valley of Baca, the valley of weeping? David fought Goliath, one of the greatest battles of his life, as a young man in the valley of Elah. And then in the last book of the Bible, in Revelation chapter 16 and verse number 13, we read about the sixth angel pouring out his vial upon the great river Euphrates, and the water thereof was dried up. And it says in verse number 13, John says, "I saw three unclean spirits like frogs come out of the mouth of the dragon, out of the mouth of the beast, and out of the mouth of the false prophet." He says they are the spirits of devils, demonic spirits, working miracles, which go forth unto the kings of the earth and of the whole world to gather them to the battle of that great day of God Almighty. And then in verse number 16 he says, "And he gathered them together unto a place called in the Hebrew tongue Armageddon." And it speaks of this great valley. This great plain, it's called the Valley of Armageddon. And it speaks about this great battle that's going to be waged there by evil and demonic spirits. As a matter of fact, the Valley of Armageddon is something that comes to the fore many times in the Old Testament under different names and titles. We read in Judges chapter 4 and 5 about Deborah and Barak, and they fought the Canaanites and won in the Valley of Armageddon. Gideon fought the Midianites in that same location. Saul in 1 Samuel 31 and verse 8, fought the Philistines in the valley of Armageddon. 2 Kings 9:27, Ahaziah was slain by Jehu in the valley of Armageddon. And then in 2 Kings 23 and 2 Chronicles 35, we read about Josiah being slain by the Egyptians in the valley of Armageddon. And here in Revelation 16, we're told that in the last days, there's going to be another great battle that's going to be fought in the valley of Armageddon. Some people believe it's a spiritual battle. Other people believe it's a physical battle. You can study that out for yourselves, but we can at least say this, that in our lives as Christians, there are many personal Armageddons that we face. The Bible speaks about the fight of faith. The Bible says that we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities and powers and spiritual wickedness in high places, and I believe as well, in low places. The Christian life is a battle, and it may be this morning that you are personally facing an Armageddon experience in your life. And you're fighting a battle this morning. Maybe nobody knows anything about it, but it's real to you. And you might feel that this is the end of the road for you. It might be the end of your road, you think, spiritually. I can't get out of this spiritual despondency and defeatism that I'm in. Maybe there's trial and there's temptation. Maybe there's a lack of assurance and there's a personal Armageddon that you're fighting. It might be spiritual by nature. It might be physical. There might be real, tangible things. Maybe trouble in your home. Maybe problems with your health. Maybe the battle that you're facing this morning is mental or emotional, but nevertheless, you know that it is a real battle. Spiritual, the fight of faith. Physical, the thorn in the flesh. Mental, the Bible in Romans 7:23 talks about that war that goes on within our minds. You're maybe facing this morning a personal battle, a personal Armageddon. And you might be in that personal valley, as it were, the valley of Armageddon, and you feel low. The valley is a low place. And I would say in a meeting like this, where there are so many gathered in this Lord's Day morning, some locally from our own town and district and community, some who are up for the bank holiday weekend and you're enjoying the weather, but it may be that you find yourself in a valley and you find yourself low. A low place. The psalmist said, "Why art thou cast down, O my soul?" He was in the valley. Or maybe it's the valley of loneliness. The psalmist said, "I am like a sparrow alone on a housetop. I am as a pelican alone in the wilderness." And that might be the battle that you're facing this morning, the battle of loneliness, and you find yourself in the valley, and it's a low place. It's a lonely place. It may be you're in the valley this morning because, in a sense, you feel let down and you feel somehow disappointed with humanity, with life's journey. The psalmist often felt let down by those around him as well. He said in verse 11 and 12 of Psalm 31, "I was a reproach among all mine enemies, but especially among my neighbors, and a fear to mine acquaintance. They that did see me fled from me. I am forgotten as a dead man out of mind. I am like a broken vessel." Is that you this morning? Cast down, low, lonely, let down. You're in the valley. You feel low. You maybe even feel you're in the valley this morning because you just feel so lost. Psalm 119, verse 176, "I have gone astray like a lost sheep. Seek thy servant and hear the wonderful psalmist who speaks so highly of the word of God, summarizes it all by saying, I have gone astray. You would hardly find that plausible, having spoken so much about the word of God. And yet with it all, he says at the end, I have gone astray like a lost sheep. And this is a believer. And he's wandered and he's drifted from God. And he feels perhaps so low, so lonely, so let down, so lost. And yet in it all, the Lord Jesus Christ knows how we feel. The Bible says he's touched with the feelings of our infirmities, but was in all points tempted like as we are, yet without sin. He knows what it's like to go through the valley. Are you in the valley this morning? The sorrows experienced by the believer. Notice secondly, the sovereignty exercised by the Almighty. He sendeth springs into the valleys. This text of Scripture begins with the word he. He sendeth, and that indicates that God is sovereign and God is always working and God is always moving. It doesn't say he sent. It doesn't say he will send. It says he sendeth, and that indicates that God, unknown to us perhaps, is continually working, continually acting, continually moving. God is sovereign over all. He reigns. He's in control. He's not bound or limited by circumstances or by men. Our catechism would teach us, what are the decrees of God? The answer is given. The decrees of God are his eternal purpose, according to the counsel of his will, whereby for his own glory he hath foreordained whatsoever cometh to pass. God is sovereign. His sovereignty is wise, universal, and unchangeable. And the Bible tells us in that great text in Romans 8:28 that he is working together all things. He works together all things for good. And we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to those who are called according to his purpose. Arthur Pink said this, sovereignty characterizes the whole being of God. C.H. Spurgeon said, opposition to divine sovereignty is essentially atheism. And yet so often we try to wrestle against the idea of a God who is sovereign, a God who is control, a God who has got a plan and a purpose, and a God who will execute it despite what man thinks he's doing or despite what man plans to do. He will always send his springs into the valleys. This indicates that he is sovereign over nature itself. He sendeth the springs into the valley. Speaking, we could say in a very physical sense, this is something that God does. It speaks there right throughout this psalm about God being sovereign in nature. He watereth the hills from his chambers. The earth is satisfied with the fruit of thy works. He causes the grass to grow for the cattle, and he sends the springs into the valleys. You see, all nature is subject to the Almighty. The book of Colossians teaches us concerning our Lord Jesus Christ that all things were created by him, and by him all things consist. All things are held together by the hand of our Savior. And even in a physical sense, the Lord sends the spring into the valleys. Water can leak into the systems from many sources. Rainfall, the melting of snow, leaches down through porous rocks like limestone, right down below the surface of the ground into underground caves and chambers and wells. Yesterday, we were over there at Ballantoy. There's a couple of caves, limestone caves, and we went into them. And all you could hear in the second one was this constant drip. And there was a huge big pool at the bottom, and it's just the water just making its way right down from the high places, the hills, right down through the rocks. And it maybe takes years for those little droplets to reach the pool. But nevertheless, there they are, and the Lord guides and the Lord directs each and every one of them. The Bible speaks about the waters that are under the earth. The Bible speaks about the fountains of the deep. The scripture speaks about the waters that are hid by the stone. The Bible says that there are waters underneath the surface and right underneath the ground that are there are great springs and there are great fountains. And God is the one who has placed them there and God is the one who has put them there. But if we could spiritualize all of this for just a moment, it would teach us and show us that God is sovereign in every trial, and God is also sovereign in every joy. He sendeth the springs into the valleys. And sometimes he not only sends his people into the valleys, but he leads his people into the valleys as well. Whenever the disciples faced that great storm in the Sea of Galilee, it was the Lord who guided them into the ship. And what did they meet? They met a great storm, but the Lord's hand was in it all. Even our Savior at the commencement of his earthly ministry, the Bible says he was led by the Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted of the devil, and he was taken down into the valley. You know, the hymn writer said, every joy or trial falleth from above, traced upon our dial by the Son of Love. We may trust him fully. All for us to do, they who trust him wholly, find him wholly true. And it is always easier facing our trials, our valleys, our Armageddons, if we know that God and if we believe that God is sovereign in all things. He is sovereign in our trials. He is also sovereign in our joys because he sendeth the springs into the valleys. We don't come upon the springs by chance. He sends them and he leads us to them. Did not the psalmist say, he leads me beside the still waters? He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. There's times whenever, like David, we don't want to lie down. We don't want to rest. We don't want to worship. But sometimes the Lord makes us to lie down. And he makes us to lie down and he leads us beside the still waters. He leads us to the springs. James said, every good and perfect gift cometh from above, from the Father of lights, with whom there is neither variableness nor shadow of turning. And in every valley, you'll find a spring if you seek the face of God. Some of you will have read undoubtedly the story of a woman. She's maybe an older woman now, but the book was written whenever she was just in her 20s, Johnny Erickson. Her father and mother were Christian people. She had made a profession of faith when she was young, but it wasn't real and vibrant in her life. And then at the age of 17, she dived off a platform to swim in the sea, and she misjudged the depth of the water in Chesapeake Bay way back there in 1967. And as she dived into the water, she felt her head meet the sand, and she felt a kind of spring going off in her neck, and she went numb all over, and from that moment on she was paralyzed from the shoulders down. She became a quadriplegic. And in her biography, she talks about spending months in hospital in that striker frame as it was alternated from being on her face to being on her back, looking at the floor and looking at the ceiling, back and forward, day after day, week after week. And she got very angry and very bitter against God. But yet through a series of events, she began to study the Word of God and study the Bible. And through it all, she found Jesus Christ to be a real Savior. And in that valley experience, she discovered that there was a wonderful spring. And her life was transformed and revolutionized, not just physically, but more important, spiritually. And she got to the place in her life where she could even say, if I could go back to living a physically vibrant life and get out of this wheelchair and do the things that I once did, I don't know that I'd want to do it. Because I have discovered it takes much more of the grace of God to keep me in this wheelchair, rejoicing and trusting Christ and walking with God, than it would to heal me physically and allow me to go back to my old life. She discovered that under God there were springs in the valleys. You're in the valley this morning, perhaps. God is sovereign. He perhaps has you there for a reason. Seek Him. Find that spring. Springs in the valleys, the sorrows experienced by the believer, the sovereignty exercised by the Almighty. But just lastly, the springs explained by the Scriptures. What are these springs that are spoken about? Well, in a physical sense, those springs are springs of living water. The water rises up, the pressure causes it to rise to the surface, and the water springs forth, and the water is flowing, it's living, it's moving, it's not stagnant, it's not dead, but it's real, it's vibrant, it's living. And one of the problems in Christian living is stagnancy. How often do our prayers become stale? How often does our faith become stagnant? How often does our service become dry and barren? And yet at times like this, the Lord can bring us low. And the Lord can cause us to thirst. And our Savior said in John 7, if any man thirst, let him come unto me. He that believeth in me, as the Scripture has said, out of his belly shall flow rivers of living water. And if you can find that spring, that could be the very thing that could lead you into living a Spirit-filled life, a vibrant life for Christ. Spring water is oftentimes noted for its purity. Full of nutrients like magnesium, calcium, lithium, sulfur. Spring water, unlike our tap water, it contains no bacteria, no additives, no chemicals. It hasn't been tampered with by human hands, and therefore it is marked by purity. And as it makes its way down through the rocks, oftentimes the minerals within the rocks are dissolved into the water, and it becomes, therefore, sometimes known as mineral water. And it possesses minerals. It's pure. It's healthy. It's refreshing. It's uncontaminated. It's pure. And is it not the will of God that His people are marked by purity? And sometimes it's not until we're in the valley that we realize that under God, all that really matters is purity of life, likeness to Christ, sanctification, holiness. You might be in the valley this morning because it's God's will and plan and purpose to purify your life. Spring waters often give birth to rivers and pools. We're often told if you trace a river to its source, it will often start by a spring or by a pool that has resulted perhaps from a spring. And the Savior says, out of his belly shall flow rivers of living water. And often whenever a person is filled with the Spirit of God and they're purified, and a church is purified and Spirit-filled, that a river can flow and touch a community and touch a nation, and many caught up in its healing stream. Spring waters are also reviving. The valley experience in life can leave us perched or parched and thirsty. Like the psalmist said, my soul panteth after thee, O God. There was a thirst that rose up. He was in the valley. He said, why art thou cast down? And it's whenever we seek the Lord with all of our hearts that we will find Him. Spring waters are also marked by fertility. Often round about where a spring breaks out, you will notice a place of lush vegetation, trees, flowers, shrubs. It's a fruitful place. And we read about this very thing in this particular psalm. He sendeth the springs into the valleys. They give drink to every beast of the field. By them shall the fowls of the heaven find their habitation, sitting among the branches. He watereth the hills from his chambers. The earth is satisfied with the fruit of thy works. He causes the grass to grow for the cattle, the herb for the service of man, that he may bring forth food out of the earth. And that would not happen in the valley were it not for the springs. God wants us to be fruitful. And whenever we reach the end of ourselves, we reach the beginning of God. There are many biblical examples of these springs in Scripture. Isaac dug out the old wells and they were filled. Moses smit the rock with his rod and the water flowed. Samson found the hollow in the jaw that was filled with water and he revived. Elijah sat by the brook Cherith and the water flowed and he was sustained. Later on at the juniper tree, whenever he was low, the Lord gave him a cruse of water and he found it in a place where there was just dryness and earth all around him. Same with Elisha, whenever he called the people to dig the ditches, for this valley shall be filled with rain. And then there was the Samaritan woman who in the burning heat of the eastern sun sat down by that well, Jacob's well. And it was there that she met the Lord. And that fountain of living water sprung up within her life. Stuart Hamblin wrote the words of that great hymn, "It is no secret what God can do. What he's done for others, he can do for you. With arms wide open, he'll pardon you. It is no secret what God can do." And the secret is to finding that spring of water whenever you're in the valley. You say, "Well, how can I find it? I'm so depressed and discouraged and low today. And it seems that I've been in the valley for quite some time and things maybe aren't getting much better. How do I find it?" Well, how do you detect a real spring? You look for the lush vegetation. You look for the greenery. And so we must be sober and vigilant. And we must be seeking God while we're in the valley. And then back in the old days, some of you might have seen this, I've never seen it, but they used to douse for water. They'd take an old Y-shaped stick. There was talk that Dr. Paisley used to be able to do this. Some of you might be able to do it yourself. I don't know how it works. And they douse for water and they somehow find it. It takes discernment. And under God, we need to pray for wisdom and for discernment. And whenever we're there in the valley, we need to be in fellowship with God and saying, "Now, Lord, what are you teaching me here? Why have you led me here? Why has this happened? How can I find your blessing and your speaking voice in the midst of it all?" And then sometimes to find the spring, you need to dig and you need to drill. The Bible says in Psalm 42:7, whenever the psalmist says, "Why art thou cast down, O my soul?" He says, "Deep calleth unto deep at the noise of thy waterspouts." A waterspout is like a tornado in the face of the sea, and it lifts the water from the surface of the sea right up into the clouds in the heavens. It connects the heavens to the earth in a sense. And here the psalmist, whenever he was low, he says, "Deep calleth unto deep." Deep from within his soul, a prayer was rising up that was reaching deep into the heart of his God and his Lord. And sometimes the Lord wants us to dig into the Scriptures and get deeper into the Word of God and deeper into the very heart of God. And the Bible assures us, "Ye shall seek me and shall find me whenever you search for me with all of your hearts." But did not our Lord Jesus Christ know more about the valley than anybody else? In his life on this earth, he went deep into the valley. The Bible says he descended into the lower parts of the earth. And never was he so low than whenever he was on the cross. The hymn writer said, "None of the ransomed ever knew how deep were the waters cross, nor how dark was the night that our Lord passed through ere he found the sheep that was lost." And yet through that, the valley, a spring was opened. A fountain was sealed. A fountain was opened in the house of David for sin and for uncleanness. And from the valley of the cross, a river flows. a river of saving grace. And maybe you've been brought into the valley today because you don't know the Lord. Or you've got away from God and you're cold at heart or you're backslidden. The psalmist says, it is good for me that I have been afflicted, that I might learn thy statutes. Before I was afflicted, I went astray, but now have I kept thy law. I know, Lord, that thy judgments are right, and that thou in faithfulness has afflicted me. And what he had discovered, that God sends his springs into the valleys. And I pray this morning that if you're in the valley, you'll find that spring. And you'll experience reviving and refreshing in your experience with the Lord. May God bless his word this morning to our hearts. We're going to sing in just a moment another hymn, but let's pray together briefly.